The DUP's leader at Westminster, Nigel Dodds, is to sit in on a star chamber of Brexit lawyers who will scrutinise changes to the government's withdrawal agreement. It comes amid speculation that the DUP has shifted or that they're about to shift their position on the Brexit backstop. Could the DUP be prepared to accept a time limit on the backstop rather than ruling it out entirely? And could they sell that to their party members? Well, the newsletter's political correspondent Sam McBride with us this morning. Is the DUP shifting, Sam?
Good morning, Stephen. I think it's certainly there are people within the DUP who are certainly shifting. There's no question about that. Sammy Wilson is shifting his position. I'm not sure that the DUP leadership and the party line from Nigel Dodds, Arlene Foster and people at the very top of the party has really moved very much. There's maybe a slight difference of emphasis there. But when you look at what Sammy Wilson has said, I think that is understandably raising people's eyebrows.
What's he said?
Well, he's really moved from a position where last month he said to my colleague Stephen Gamble, he was very explicit about this, that there could be no form of backstop whatsoever. So really, he was making clear, in contrast to some of his party colleagues at that point, and that was why it was a point of interest, that he said that if the Prime Minister comes back from Brussels with a backstop still part of the agreement, we will be voting against it. He went on to say that the motion which they had endorsed, the Brady Amendment in the Commons, which said to get alternative arrangements, he said that was a mandate for her to get alternative arrangements, not an alternative backstop. She will have to deliver this if she wants our support. Now, he is now saying, actually, that's not quite the position. He is prepared to have a time limit on the backstop, and that could be acceptable because to him, that would not be a backstop. So it's a contorted argument, but it certainly seems...
Well, how would it not be a backstop? How is a time-limited backstop not a backstop?
It really depends from whose perspective one looks at this, I suppose. From the perspective of the Irish government, certainly they are making the argument, and people like Sinn Féin and the SDLP in Northern Ireland are making the argument that if the backstop is to be an insurance policy, and there's great logic in this, if it is meant to be an insurance policy to prevent a hard border in the event of the rest of the UK diverging from EU regulations, it doesn't make sense to have an insurance policy that runs out after a couple of years. You need that to be a genuine insurance policy. So that is quite a logical position to have. If it has a cut-off point, then the insurance policy isn't really worth very much because at a certain point it runs out. And at that point, the hard border goes up under the logic of the Irish government. Now, of course, the DUP come back to that and say, well, actually, the Irish government is saying that even in the event of a no-deal Brexit, so the worst possible Brexit from their point of view, they say they will not put up a border, they will not tolerate a border, they will have alternative arrangements to get around that. It'll be very difficult, but they will make it work. So there is a difficulty for both sides in terms of the logic of what they're saying. But certainly from what Sammy Wilson is saying, he has moved on this issue. But I think it's very important to say that not only has the DUP leadership not moved very much on this, but even what Sammy Wilson is saying is really asking for something or giving the sense that he would accept something which is not an offer. So the EU and the Irish government have been completely resolute on this in saying that, with the exception of some very fringe voices in terms of people in Poland, etc., they have been saying there will be no movement on this issue of a time-limited backstop. That is not up for negotiation.
Well, they have been saying they're prepared to give clarification. And is that not political speak for they're prepared to shift themselves?
Well, that is where we get into some very complex territory, because if you listen to what Nigel Dodds was saying last night, he was really saying that any movement on that in terms of giving legal clarification has to be absolutely legally watertight. So it is not good enough to have a letter which simply says something that really gives added clarification to it. It has to be fundamental change. And that, of course, brings us back to what you said at the outset of this, that he and other lawyers from the Brexiteer side are going to be scrutinising this. So I think that, yes, there is a shift in some of the emphasis here, but it would seem that at this point, there is a real effort by the DUP, and has been for several weeks, to not be seen to be calling for a no deal or wanting a no deal or pushing for a no deal. But I'm not sure that we're in a position where they're actually making massive concessions which will ensure that there won't be no deal, if that makes sense. So they don't want to be blamed for it if that's what happens, and that's probably quite wise politically if it goes wrong. But if it does get to a position where their red lines mean that, and the red lines of the EU, it has to be said, make that necessary, I'm not sure that they're in a position to rule that out.
You're distinguishing, Sam, between what Sammy Wilson has said and what the leadership of the party, in other words, Arlene Foster and Nigel Dodds, obviously the leader at Westminster, but Sammy Wilson is the DUP's Brexit spokesperson. So
right.
there is authority with that position. So should Arlene Foster be clarifying whether she backs Sammy Wilson's position or not? If it was anywhere else in the UK and the Brexit spokesperson said something, if the party leader disagreed, you would need to be finding out pretty quickly.
It's a pretty unique it's a fairly unique position here, and there's an element of Kremlinology almost in terms of trying to work out what is going on. But I think it's been very clear for a long time that Sammy Wilson is the most ardent Brexiteer within the DUP, but he has something of a freelance reign to comment on these issues, it would seem. Certainly, when
you can't have if you're the Brexit spokesperson, you're talking on behalf of the party about Brexit, surely.
Absolutely, and in any other party, that would be a very difficult position to sustain. But within the DUP, I think there has been a tacit acceptance, and people in the Tory party, I think, understand this, and people at Westminster understand this, that Ian Paisley Jr. and, to a greater extent, Sammy Wilson, as the official spokesperson for the party on this issue, care more passionately about this, are more hard-line in their views on this than the party leadership, and therefore, even though Mr. Wilson has the title of being the Brexit spokesperson, when you look at what he says and when you look at what Arlene Foster says or Nigel Dodds says or other DUP MPs say, such as Jim Shannon or Gavin Robinson, there is a very significant gulf between those positions. So, yes, it's confusing perhaps, but I think that the real key and the real test here will be, what does Nigel Dodds do in this? And what, to a certain extent, does Geoffrey Cox do in this? Can those people move position in any way? If they do, I think that will be the really significant element here.
Jim Wells, the DUP MLA, is listening to this. Of course, when we're talking about party unity, Jim, you're away out there somewhere in some isolated forest somewhere, Jim. But do you think that Sammy Wilson reflects the party's position, or do you agree with Sam that there's a gulf in your party, and how on earth can the public understand what your party position therefore is?
First of all, Stephen, on Brexit, you'll not find a cigarette paper between me and the party on this issue.
Well, what is the party position?
The party position, I think, was very well articulated by Nigel Dodds. And in fact, his interview was played this morning on Gamoo, and I understand you used it over the weekend. And I think Nigel's position was, the party's position was extremely well articulated by him, and he made it absolutely clear that as presently constituted, we cannot accept the backstop. Also, Stephen, I've had the advantage that you haven't. I heard Sammy Wilson speak at a DUP event in North Down on
Thursday
night. I
wasn't invited, can you believe that?
Well, Stephen, I think pigs might fly if they invite you to that event. But, you know, it was a very excellent event, and Sammy was in great form and went down a storm with the large number present. And he articulated very clearly the party's position. And I also listened to the interview this morning with Nigel Dodds.
Okay, so help,
them at all.
So help me then, Jim. Is the DUP prepared to accept a time-limited backstop?
The DUP, at the minute, Nigel is part of the eight-man team that is waiting for Geoffrey Cox to come back.
Yes, I know that.
Geoffrey Cox to come back.
Is the
DUP
prepared to accept any type of backstop?
Any type of backstop that leads to a situation where Northern Ireland leaves the European Union on a different basis to the rest of the UK is absolutely unacceptable. Secondly, any backstop which is going to lead to a situation where the only way we can get out is if the Irish Republic gives us permission to leave is out of the question. We have to have absolute clarity here, Stephen.
Trying to get absolute clarity. Is the DUP prepared, in your view, Jim? And the DUP would no doubt be screaming at the moment that you don't speak on behalf of the party. But do you think your party is prepared to accept any type of time-limited backstop?
Stephen, the DUP will not accept anything that leads us to leaving the European Union on a different basis to the rest of the United Kingdom. And secondly, we're not prepared to accept anything which gives the Irish Republic a veto over the constitutional position of Northern Ireland. And thirdly, we will not accept anything which will leave us as part of the customs union and diverge from the rest of the United Kingdom. Now, the European Union can call it whatever it's like, but that at the end of the day, any mechanism, no matter what it's called, that leads to that divergence between us and the rest of the United Kingdom is not acceptable. And I think Nigel articulated that extremely well this morning. And I would advise you, actually, on your programme, to play that interview again, because that gives you the clarity that you need.
Sam?
Well, I think that one thing that Jim Wells is absolutely right about there is that the entire DUP, almost to a person, whether they voted Remain or whether they voted for Brexit or what form of Brexit they would like to see, they are united in opposition to the backstop. So there is no question that even the most pro-EU DUP member is in any way open to having the backstop. They see it in stark constitutional terms. They see it as cutting Northern Ireland off constitutionally from the rest of the UK, and therefore they are not prepared to accept that. The question is whether they are prepared to tolerate it for a very short period. So for a couple of years, is that a price to pay if, in their view, really, it gets them out of these EU institutions, out of these arrangements in the longer term? And that is where there is a divergence. So on the fundamental issue, the party is united, but there is this debate, albeit it might seem quite a curious debate, given that it's about something which doesn't seem to be on the table or really seriously likely to happen, on whether there is this possibility of 1, 2, maybe even 3 years of Northern Ireland, yes, diverging potentially a little bit from the rest of the UK, but not over a longer period of time, where the real fear from the DUP would be that it would be the thin end of the wedge, that Northern Ireland, the longer this went on, as the rest of the UK went further and further away from EU regulations, where maybe it did strike trade deals with other parts of the world, which meant that it had to change some of the regulatory stuff in Great Britain, that Northern Ireland would become more and more a place apart. So it would address that to a certain extent, but other people in the DUP up until this point have been saying, no, it cannot happen at all.
Well, the Deputy Leader of the Lands Party, Stephen Farry, with us this morning. Where are we at, Stephen, in this country? Where are we at in terms of finding any type of consensus over Brexit?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing to reflect on, Stephen, is we're 25 days away from the current deadline for leaving, and people don't know what's happening, and that in itself creates massive difficulties, and people will be very fearful of their jobs and livelihoods until we get something sorted. Now, the only thing, I think, where there is a majority in the House of Commons is to take a no deal off the table for now and to delay it slightly, but there's no consensus on what they are going to be able to support.
Yeah. Delay it slightly. Delay for how long?
Yeah,
weeks,
and,
months,
yeah,
years?
And Europe will say, delay for what purpose? Are we simply just kicking the can down the road? Are you going to rethink your strategy in some shape or form? So they can come to agreement as to what they are against, but they cannot come to a conclusion in terms of what they are for. Now, I suppose I'm more or less with Sam. I see some softening of language, but I don't see the DUP changing the fundamentals of their position. And it is clear that the European Union, quite rightly, is saying that the backstop must remain open-ended. It's an insurance policy. I'm shortly speaking at an event with Border Communities Against Brexit, and there is massive concern around any rowing back on the clear principles around the backstop. And let's bear in mind, the backstop is not something that's been imposed in Northern Ireland. It is supported by most of the people here. Obviously, the DUP have their views, but they are not the majority.
Well, how do you know that?
On this issue. But we've had many opinion surveys from people like Lucid Talk and others that show that there is majority support for things such as a people's vote.
And opinions can change.
Opinions can change, again, which is another reason why we should have a people's vote, because people in a democracy are entitled to change their mind. The democracy is not a fixed point in time where the people vote and then politicians say, well, thank you so much, now we don't want to hear from you ever again. That's not a tenable position. But I think from the DUP perspective, this pushing of a hard Brexit and ruling out the backstop is actually very destabilising to Northern Ireland. It is entirely counterproductive from their stated objectives. They should be the strongest Remainers going, because you're seeing the effect of
it
Brexit.
It may or may not be counterproductive in terms of the economy, who knows, but they're protecting the union, Stephen.
Well, first of all, in terms of the economy, the vast majority of economists, the government's own analysis show that on virtually every scenario under Brexit, we are going to be seeing a slowdown in the rate of growth. So the economics are fairly clear. In terms of the union, they're not protecting the union. The union is based around political stability. The constitutional issue was largely parked in the years after the Good Friday Agreement. The constitutional question is right back on the table. Now, people are entitled to their different aspirations, but it is a matter of fact that we are talking a lot more about a border poll and the constitutional question, and that all flows from Brexit. And if we see a hard Brexit or a no deal, that type of talk is going to accelerate.
Right.
That's the blunt political reality. So the backstop isn't a constitutional crisis. It should be a means of actually landing this in a safe, consensual, pragmatic way.
Stephen, thank you very much indeed. And to you, Jim Wells, and to you, Sam McBride. Thank you.